You spent a lot of time in Martinsburg with your grandparents when you were a kid. Approximately what years were those, and what kind of memories do you have?
Well, I was born in 1955, so probably until about 1960. I was up there not 100% of the time, but, you know, maybe they'd take me up there for 2 weeks and then come back, and the next month another 3 weeks or that kind of thing. It was a large portion of the time, certainly. What are some of the memories? Well, this is kind of, this is a good question, because this is what leads into why I do this blog. I have memories, for example, in the springtime of, I must have been maybe three or four years old, I guess, at that time, of grabbing onto my grandfather's trousers and walking behind him in his footsteps as he plowed the garden. I have memories of friends of theirs sitting around the kitchen table, you know, telling stories about the old days and just, you know, picking apples in the fall or whatever it might be. They often would sit out in the summertime in the backyard and sit in a big circle and shuck corn or string beans and that kind of thing. So anyway, I have a lot of very positive memories about Appalachian culture from them. When I graduated from college, I moved to New York City and promptly discovered that not everybody loves Appalachia the way I do. And it just hurt me so much to hear all these ignorant comments. It really kind of rubbed me the wrong way for many years. But, you know, when you're a young person and you're trying to make it in your field, you think, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut and go along to get ahead. But at a certain point, it just spills out and you have to say, no, this is not the way I want to have my culture viewed.
So at some point, you decided to do something about it in the form of the blog and the podcast.
That's right. And here's what the spark was. When I was about 40, my dad decided that he was going to write a memoir of growing up in West Virginia. And he had never written a book before, even though he's a very educated man. He has a PhD. He'd never written a book before. And so he asked if I would help him edit it. And I said, sure. One of the things that struck me as we were talking about what he wanted to write about was that he refused to talk about either moonshine or hillbillies. And I said, Dad, how can you be from West Virginia and not talk about those things? He said, oh, all that stuff's in the past. And furthermore, nobody wants to hear about that stuff. They all just, you know, if you talk about those things, they're just going to look down on you. When he finished his book, those questions were still kind of nagging in the back of my mind. I said, well, you know, there's nothing that prevents me from addressing these things on my own, you know, on using a website to do so. And so that's kind of the impetus for what got me started on the blog.
You have different people writing for the blog, it appears, that and then you write for it, and it what does it cover?
When I started, I was kind of using it more to investigate my own response to, you know, well, what's it like to be a hillbilly, and what about moonshine, and, you know, what's my relationship to all those things? So it was more of a traditional blog. I was getting a lot of comments from genealogists and from people who were Appalachian expats who were saying, oh, I just love the fact that you talk about these things. One of my early listeners or one of my early blog followers was in Alaska, and he said, this is how I keep up with my culture, and, you know, I appreciate that you do this.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned doing this work?
I think the most surprising thing to me is how difficult it is for the coal country to move on to the next, whatever the next thing is beyond coal. People are very emotionally invested. You know, if you've had brothers and fathers and uncles and grandfathers who've all worked in the mines, it's really hard to step back from that and say, well, okay, that was good while it lasted, but it's ending. What can we do now? And I think it's really painful to a lot of people in the region. And there's no easy answer. But I'm very heartened to see that, you know, for example, last fall there was the SOAR initiative that's taking place in eastern Kentucky. And there's just a lot bubbling up from the millennial generation where people are realizing we've got to do the next thing, whatever it is, whether it's tourism or ATV or, you know, heritage tourism, ecotourism, solar energy, farming, you know, whatever it is that needs to replace coal. But I think we're at this awkward junction where we're neither done with coal, nor are we on to the next thing. And I think that overall has been the big surprise to me of that I didn't see coming.
What do you hope people get from your work?
Well, I want people to get a sense of pride in where they're from and who they are, and never to have to apologize for being Appalachian or for the way they speak or the music that they listen to or anything else that's associated with Appalachian culture. You know, it's Appalachian culture is American culture. That's something that we've actually forgotten over the years. But, you know, if you ask a non-Appalachian person about Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett, sure, that's American history. But for some reason, we've gotten off track and forgotten that Appalachian history is American history. And that's one of the most important things that I want my listeners to feel, is that, you know, we are connected to the mainstream. We influence the mainstream. We're not just a bunch of tumble-down poor people in shacks that can't read or write. And, you know, can you imagine someone doing a history of New York City and they only went to the worst, you know, poverty areas in Harlem, and that was all they focused on? People would just laugh or say, that's ridiculous. You know, you forgot about Madison Avenue and Wall Street and this and that. Well, that's kind of how I feel that a lot of the mainstream media views Appalachia. You know, we still are talking about the war on poverty. Well, Christ, that was 50 years ago, people. You know, we've got some of the finest educational institutions in the country. Knoxville has some amazing medical centers. You know, there's just NASCAR and country music are two of the major culture forces in America today. So there's a lot to be really proud of. We need to take that pride with us wherever we go and just not ever be ashamed to speak up and say, this is who I am and this is where I'm from.
Well, Dave Tabler, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.